Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need. It's one place. And by the way, it's for free. You can use your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever. Creation tools allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll distribute your podcast for you. You can be heard everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google Podcasts, and so much more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Get started right now. Download it. You know you want to. Let's go. Hey everybody, Lee Houston here. I got a very special guest from Wrestle Talk in the D, my boy Josh. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Our friend Martez Al could be with us today, so he's one of his awesome hosts. If you haven't heard of Wrestle Talk in the D, you need to check him out on Blog Talk Radio or on Facebook, Wrestle Talk in the D, for the D for Detroit, and it's pretty awesome. Do you have a show on there?
I'm on the Russell Talk and the D podcast.
Cool,
here.
Cool.
I've been with them for about 2-3 months now. It's cool, man. Wrestling's my life. Wrestling's
yes, sir.
My business. That's what I'm talking.
Well, let's get into that then. Let me ask you something here. What's your honest opinion, no matter how ugly it is or how truthful it is, about WWE?
WWE right now, Vince McMahon is the cancer. That dude don't know his. I don't want to go R rated, but I'll just say that dude don't know how to keep his head out of his butt. He's been smelling what he's been cooking a year ago, and yeah, Vince McMahon in charge of everything. I think that WWE is gonna go down. I've been a lifer though. I've been with WWE since I've been like 7. But the thing is with Vince McMahon running it, you gotta understand, he is a creative genius back in the 90s, early 2000s. Now, this man is so senile and old that he is what is killing WWE. Not the fans, not the booking, it's him. Because he comes in, tears up sheets and promos and all this other stuff, and then he wants to push the big guys. I mean, Vince McMahon is a cancer to wrestling, period.
All right, a couple of things. First of all, here you can curse. It's all good. Secondly, I've also been a lifelong fan of WWE. I probably will till the day I die. I wouldn't say it's going down because, like, there's always the next generation and whatnot. But I will agree with this. They need to focus the influence on the next generation. So. And by next generation, I do not endorse 2.0 NXT. NXT was fine. It was cool. It was perfect the way it was. And you came up with NXT 2.0. What the hell is that?
He took Frosted Flakes and made it Fruity Pebbles. What I think
he did. Like, NXT was fine. It was okay. It was all good.
You take a product. You gave this product to Triple H and said, run with it. He built a brand that was beating the main rosters. Vince McMahon did not like that. Once Triple H had his surgery and was out, Vince McMahon and his stooges took over. Mm-hmm. And they destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I would get it like this. Did I like our Undisputed Era? Yes. Do I like this new Braun Breaker and who all these other new guys are? No, I don't like these new guys for the simple fact. These are rejects of the 80s, 90s, and the Attitude Era that Vince McMahon likes. Uh-huh. Tommaso Ciampa, good wrestler, good leader in the NXT locker room, but they're going to make him look pretty much like a bitch to Braun Breaker.
Yeah.
That's not cool, because Braun Breaker literally has not had that many matches. He didn't wrestle in the Independence. He didn't wrestle anywhere. He literally trained with his dad and his uncle, and then they just said, "Oh, we're gonna sign him."
Uh-huh.
He had no matches ever, and he's a top contender. I mean, come on, I'm a traditional person. You want to put somebody in a main picture for a title? They let them earn their stripes before you just give them the opportunity, because you're passing up on so many other people that it's quite sickening, if you ask me. I mean, yeah. I think Bron Breakker's a joke. I think does he have talent? Okay, let's face it, dude's got talent, but he's a joke because he is the spitting image of what the Steiners were, only with the attitude of Big Papa Pump, and that's just stupid. That's just my opinion, though. But I mean, I like storytelling, and to me, Bron Breakker can't tell stories. This new Sopranos knockout guy can't tell a story. These people can't tell stories. These people are coming in there under Vince McMahon's tutelage, saying, "Oh, go out there, have a good time, have fun. You know, do what you got to do, and you're gonna get paid for pretty much making yourself look like a jackass."
I don't like the look of NXT 2.0. I don't like the building. They modified the building. I don't like that. I don't like... They have a few black and gold folks. Very few. Tommaso Ciampa, Kyle O'Reilly. Who else still there? Black and gold. Pete Dunne is still there. Thank God. Very few people from black and gold. I don't like nothing about 2.0, man. For real.
That 2.0 has going for it is the women division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, you can put Toxic Attraction; they're going to make money. They're a good draw. You got Raquel; she's a good draw. You got Casey and her tag team partner; they're good draws. But at the end of the day, it's like people don't. I mean, if they just want women's wrestling; they'll tune into women of wrestling. If you want a true product, you got to stay true to who you are. Don't listen to what your money says. Listen to the fans. The fans loved NXT. Here's a fact. NXT 2.0 has drawn significantly lower numbers than any NXT show, period.
Mm.
And the ratings just keep going lower and lower. Yeah, they could put on marquee matches, but... Let's face it. Let's take War Games this past, a little while ago. The first match, the women's War Game match, was the best match. And why? Because Cora Jade did that spot off the cage. I did not like the rest of the pay-per-view. I knew that big guy was going to turn on Kyle O'Reilly. I knew that I was calling the matches as they were going, and to me, that's not good storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the only thing that surprised me was Cora Jade did the spot. I thought it was going to be Io Shirai. But, I'm sitting there being like, wow, she did it? Okay, cool. You know, but I don't think WWE is going to, like, go extinct. But I think they're going to hit an all-time low before the end of next year because of Vince McMahon's vision that he sees, and he sees that, we need to relive the 90s and the 80s and the early 2000s. We don't need to relive that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just my opinion, though. You know, sorry I talk a lot, my bro.
Oh, no, that's good. Let me tell you something. That was different time, different era, different place. The stuff we got away with in the 90s, the Attitude Era, we can't do that again. We cannot do that again. We got away with it. It was brilliant. That was then. Nowadays, it's lawsuits, it's boycotts, all that crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's different time, different place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My thing is, when I was a boy, my mom showed me the WWE. It was WWF then. And, my first wrestling match was Hulk Hogan versus The Missing Link. That was my very first wrestling match, and I've been hooked since then.
Let me ask you this. You say your mom introduced you to. That's funny as hell, because my mom don't give a damn about it. But I remember I took my mom to WrestleMania 30. Well, she took me, but I took her to WrestleMania 30. And, like, she faked it to make it as best she could. You know? My mom, parents, most parents don't care about wrestling. But my mom faked it to make it best she could. The best she could. Until right after John Cena-Daniel Bryan match, I think that's when she had enough. I can't take it no more. That's it. I had enough of this. And she bounced. She, like, I'll see you when I'll be in the car. Enjoy the show. When you come out when it's over. So, I'm out of faith to make it best she could. You could take no more. It reminded me of, I posted a picture on Facebook of a side-by-side picture of Ariel from when she's doing Part of Your World towards the end of that versus Squidward with his bored face. That's how it basically is. I'm like, I'm all excited. My mom's like, Squidward with his bored face. Like, I don't want to be here. Why did I come here? This boy got me up in here. I don't even care about this product. Most moms, most mothers, let's be honest about it. If you had a choice between hugging a cactus and watching wrestling, they'll choose the cactus.
That is true. Most of them will.
Like, if your baby dragged you to a wrestling event, just dragged you. I was going to take my dad. He couldn't go. My dad was disabled at the time and couldn't go nowhere, period. That's my first choice. So, it's down to my mom. So, if mothers had, not just about my mother in general, she had a choice between hugging the cactus and being forced to watch a wrestling event she don't care nothing about. She chooses the cactus.
Yeah, my mom was, God rest her soul, but my mom was, she was the type of person that she loved, like, the action. And and I grew up on wrestling and horror movies. I mean, that's all that I like everything now, but it's like back then it was like, if it wasn't wrestling or horror related, I wasn't interested.
Uh-huh.
And like me and my mom, before she passed 12 years ago, we sat there, we watched every Monday Night Raw, every WCW Nitro, I mean, every TV show and every pay-per-view we watched.
That's amazing, man.
Oh, yeah. And when Roddy Piper or Diamond Page came out, oh, my mom went crazy.
The last time I watched wrestling with my mom was WrestleMania 35. The longest WrestleMania since WrestleMania 20. So I started at 5:30. Clocked out 11:02. My mom was knocked out. around 10:45, she dozed off. I'm here. 11 o'clock, like 10:50, she sneaked up a little bit. 11 o'clock, she was gone.
My mom was, we had wrestling parties, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, my entire block was at my house watching. I had about 50 to 60 friends over. Their families were over. You know, and we had it on every TV in the house. We even had to put a TV in the basement so we had enough room.
That's awesome memories, man. Go across the street. Across the street means the next company over, AEW. What's your opinion on them?
Oh, man. AEW sucks balls.
Ooh.
Opinion is doing exactly what WCW did. Every single person that WWE is letting go, they're getting. Now, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of them. Here is prime example of where AEW's messing up. You have Bryan Danielson wrestle Kenny Omega to a one-hour time draw. You have Bryan Danielson wrestle Adam Page to a one-hour time limit draw. And then for, like, the first almost half a year, AEW ended in brawls because they couldn't come up with a good finish for the show. Now, like, how many times can you see Dustin Rhodes come down and save Cody Rhodes, and then all of a sudden, there's like 15 guys on the Rhodes Brothers, and then out of nowhere, the Lucha Brothers. I mean, AEW sucks, man. If I had a choice to hug a cactus or watch AEW, I'm hugging a cactus.
Oh, wow. But I tell you this, man. When I watched AEW develop and they came up, and when they got Jim Ross, I'm like, oh snap! Oh no, y'all got, how dare you? How the nerve of y'all! You could have picked anybody but Jim Ross. I'm not saying we were done, but like we're in trouble. Jim Ross is the voice of wrestling. Come on now, y'all could have grabbed Taz. Come on, Taz come on later on. But y'all could have picked Iron Mike from WCW TNA. Mike, what you call it?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Iron Mike. Y'all could have picked him. Mike TNA. There you go. Y'all could be Mike TNA. Y'all could put Dusty. Y'all could put Wes, his partner in TNA. Y'all could be anybody but Jim Ross. We in trouble now. God bless Jim Ross now.
Mm-hmm. Jim Ross, I will say, is the voice of wrestling, hands down. There will never be another Jim Ross. Jim Ross is good old JR. There's never going to be another one. But since AEW's inception, he has dropped WWE's name in place of AEW over 60 times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, you have, and some of the wrestlers that are coming in, he's calling them by what they were called in WWE, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, is he doing it on purpose? Is it a jab at WWE? But my thing is like, Jim Ross, to me, hands down, definitely deserves to be a Hall of Famer. But I also think he's got too much going on in his life to be a full-time broadcaster now because of, you know, his health and everything. But I will say Jim Ross, I thought was going to be the saving grace of AEW because, I mean, I get to listen to him, you know, like, call a match where it's two ants wrestling and I'm going to be entertained.
Oh, my God, he got a family. My God, he got a family.
Oh, yeah. But the thing about AEW is like, they're taking everything that WWE did, and they're just rehashing it all, and they're just doing it at a more adult level because they're adding cuss words and stuff like that. I mean, everyone's like, MJF and CM Punk's promo war was so great. It was the best thing, you know, ever. No, it was great when it was CM Punk and Triple H, or CM Punk and John Cena, or CM Punk and Vince McMahon.
CM Punk and The Rock. Like,
oh yeah, definitely. You know, but my thing is at the end of the day, if AEW wants to have a great promo, they need to stop mentioning superstars in other federations or the other company, period. Because, I mean, that whole promo, they couldn't go 5 seconds without mentioning something about WWE, and I'm sitting there thinking like, you know, WWE is getting paid no matter what because these fools are over here, you know, like name dropping them like they're, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yes, indeed. I remember CM Punk alluded to Triple H. Say, the only way he's talking to MJF, he alluded to Triple H. The only way you'll be relevant, we all gotta wait for Tony Khan to have a daughter she can marry you. I'm like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Sure, how about when he just flat out told MJF, hey, you're just a second-rate Miz? And I'm like, what the hell, man?
Wow. MJF has such a punchable face. He really does.
Oh, yeah. Now, I will say, though, MJF as a talent, I think he's ahead of his time. I don't think his time has come just yet for the simple fact because they're throwing him in promos and matches and stuff like that, and most of the people he's, even with CM Punk, I think most of the people he's gotten promos on, he's killing. You know, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm sorry, AEW just sucks. And the only good thing about AEW is Britt Baker, and I'm even getting tired of her.
Yes, sir. By the way, before we go further, we got to pay a few bills. First of all, today's episode brought to you by Back and Delivery Some More LLC. They put the D in delivery. 888-712-2587. You have a CDL license. You can drive trucks for them. Hit them up at 888-712-2587 or backanddeliverysomemore.com. Now, let me tell you something right quick. I want to play a commercial before I do that. What if you and your bride let's see y'all get my stutter. I'm excited. Let's say
I got some reminders for Lee.
Shut up. I ain't talking about you. Let's say you have a concert and you and your bride supposed to renew your vows after the concert, right? But you find out old girl cheating on you. And 20 billion people supposed to show up at the concert expecting vows to be exchanged. What do you do?
I'll leave that.
Well,
skanky at the fucking door.
Check this out. We'll be right back. Hang on a second. There it is.
Superstar Cat Valdez and Grammy-winning Bashman will perform their new song, Marry Me, and exchange vows in front of a streaming audience of 20 million people.
Shit, you
know. I'll be the one in the veil.
Charlie, this is a once-in-a-lifetime.
I've got my daughter tonight.
Good, I've got 3 tickets for tonight. Bring her.
Dad, you haven't had any fun since Mom left. Just say yes.
Marry me, Cat!
What am I doing here?
Let's go. Find me in 5 minutes.
What's everybody looking at?
Nothing! Give me your phone.
Cat Valdez is hunting the bee, Bastion, are cheating with her assistant.
Hold this. I'm told that 20 million people are supposed to watch as we take our vows. They say if you want something different, you have to do something different. Why not? Yes. I'll marry you. You.
Go! Go! Go!
Do you, some guy, take Kat to be a lawfully wed wife?
Okay. That was crazy.
Kat Valdez left the guy from the concert, then also married her Uber driver.
It's an insane situation. I say we offer $5,000 and let it all blow over.
Or I can stay married to him. I started soaking last night, and if I don't finish it, I'll look crazy. We gotta get out in front of this. Hi.
Yeah.
Oh. It's 3 months.
I don't even know her.
We both did this. So whether we like it or not, we're in this together.
We have to embrace the spontaneity of the moment.
I don't want to be the punchline.
What do I do?
Just stand and smile.
This is the most unbelievable thing that could ever happen in life.
Right now, 237,000 people are like, he looks like he's in a math club.
I am in a math club.
Hanging with you guys today, I don't know, it made me feel kind of normal.
Come with me to the fall semi-formal.
Are you asking me to the school dance?
Well, I couldn't leave a note in her locker. Call me if you're lonely. Hello?
Are you afraid she'll fall back in love with Bastion and help you? I'd be afraid of that too.
We don't need to pretend. I don't fit.
I think we left smart 6 weeks ago.
I was on my way to you.
Who do you think you are, man? Some fan?
No, I'm not a fan. Just, well, I mean, I am now.
Check it out. I think it's February 11th. I hope you enjoy it. If you don't feel like getting out, also on Peacock. That'll be interesting. But man, speaking of weddings, wrestling has had its fair share of weddings over the years, hasn't it?
Oh yeah. One of the best ones, in my opinion, was the wedding between the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth.
I had a feeling you were going to go there. I just had that feeling. Yeah. The worst ones, in my opinion, Lita and Kane.
Impact, when it was TNA, all the way back in their first year and first season, there was a marriage between literally AJ Styles and just some girl that they plucked out of the audience, and it was like, oh, this is his high school sweetheart. I was like, yeah, okay. No building, no nothing. Oh, we're going to get married. No, thank you.
Oh, wow. I barely remember that.
Oh, yeah. But nah, it's, you know, I will say, though, like, if they could tell the story good, hey, I'm all in, you know, like, I like the storytelling of the way they did Macho Man and Elizabeth, or the way they did, even though it didn't work out, Stephanie and Tess, just to turn around, and that was the perfect way to turn Stephanie Hill was,
oh, yeah.
That storyline, so yeah, but I could probably top one better about the worst one, the wedding of Chuck and Billy and Chuck.
Yeah, and the whole time it was this publicity stunt.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but like I said, I like the storytelling, so.
Oh, yeah, you know, wrestling all together. It's like it's how you do it. If you can get whether you got an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, if you can get the people hooked for the first at least the first few minutes, you got the rest of the night.
Oh yeah.
If I can get you hooked, I can get you to buy my stuff. I can get you to buy my stuff, you'll be interested.
Oh yeah. You know, the reality is though, most if not all wrestling now, the first 20 minutes is just talking, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, start with matches. Don't start with just talking.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know. Again, I do get it. The promos lead to the stories, and the stories are what most people are there for. But every now and then, you just want to see someone get their ass kicked.
Yeah. Like, WrestleMania, what is that? 18. The whole card was lit. Yo, this is what you gotta do. Your first card, the first match determines the whole night. If your first match sucks, the whole show gonna suck. If your first match is lit, the whole show gonna be lit. Your first match determines everything.
Most definitely. Yeah, and it's funny because I talk to my wife all the time. I mean, she's not an avid watcher of wrestling, but she watches it from time to time, you know, and she'll get interested, and then she'll be like, why aren't they starting the show? And I'll be like, you know, like, because if they start the show and then the show goes downhill, then it falls all on who started the show. And she's like,
yeah.
I get it, you know, but if I was to book a pay-per-view and there was just like, I could have a free-for-all of picks on any company, my first match, hands down, I don't care what anyone says, is going to be Prime Undertaker versus Prime Sting. That would be my first match, for the simple fact that's a match that people wanted to see when they were in their prime.
Oh yeah.
So I would take that, and I would end my match with an all-star battle royals are my favorite match. But I'm not talking Royal Rumble. I'm talking like an all-star battle royal where you take the top 20 wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
In any era, I will put Stone Cold, The Rock. I would put Hogan. I mean, but that's just during booking. Now, if I was building a real match, my real match is going to be probably a title match between, I'm going to say right now, if I had to choose right now, I would say I would like to see a title match between Stone Cold and Bret Hart again, because they killed it.
And that match was amazing, by the way, because like Austin never did say it was a submission match. Austin passed out. He was a sharpshooter. He passed out. Technically, he never submitted. He just passed out. And it's wrestling, so passing out is as good as tapping out.
Oh yeah.
So that match was a little bit ish, because like you got to tap out. Nope, not pass out. He passed out. So that was a little bit questionable right there.
It's questionable, but on the same hand, it also showed the grit that Stone Cold had, because even though he was in a submission move, the blood that was coming out of his head was probably some of the best work I've seen in wrestling, period, because he had the look like he was, you know, like, going to die. And when he passed out and was in a face full of a puddle full of his own blood, that right there solidified the fact Stone Cold's going to take this company into the next era. And Stone Cold did.
By the way, young people, that blood was from earlier in the match, not from the sharpshooters.
Yeah. Now, the from the sharpshooter, that I'm going to say this, the sharpshooter is one of the weakest submission moves I think there is out there, because it's the easiest move to get out of. All you got to do literally is grab your opponent's ankles and they're out of the move already. Some of the best submissions are like, I like the chicken wing, I like the sleeper mode, obviously, but to me, I like the rings of Saturn. I mean, the cross face and stuff like that. And I know that, you know, saying a cross face is kind of taboo because of the whole Benoit incident. But my thing is you can't take away from the move. The move is impactful.
I remember WrestleMania 12 the following year. No, yeah, WrestleMania 12 the following year. It was Shawn and Bret and Tommy Chimmel. I think it was young Tommy Chimmel. Got died with the switching music.
Yeah.
Intended for Bret, but Bret moved out the way and knocked Tommy Chimmel out. Tony Chimmel, I'm sorry.
I died laughing when that happened. I mean, I was on the floor rolling and crying when that happened. Well, I don't cry, but I was laughing hard.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. Some of the best matches I don't think there's been any big marquee matches in any wrestling in the last 7 years.
Oh wow.
To me, big marquee matches are, you know, I'm not going to take away from The Rock being who The Rock is, but he's a part-timer that comes back and does one or two matches and then goes away. You know, kind of like Brock Lesnar, he'll come back, do a match. You know, I'm talking big marquee matches where they build the story. And I'm like, matches like that only happened in the Attitude Era and before. Anything after the Attitude Era has been child's play. It's been more along the lines of, we're going to put the title on this person so this person can go after it when this person doesn't even deserve it.
You mentioned Brock Lesnar. Brock used to wrestle back in the day before he started shooting the hell out of people. He used to wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one time, WrestleMania 19, he did the Superstar Press on Kurt Angle and missed it.
Yeah.
He missed it. Like,
That just goes to show, though, like, you know, you can practice and you can, you know, like, do all this other stuff and you can rehearse the matches fully through, but when you're in that moment, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Look at Owen Hart, the whole Owen Hart incident. I mean, they rehearsed that thing all day until time pay-per-view came, and then all of a sudden, you know, the accident happened, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, you can try and try and try, but it only takes one little mistake,
mm-hmm.
and then your whole career could be over.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let's say wrestling is pretty determined, but anything can happen, like you just said. Let's say I get somebody up in a suplex, like a delayed suplex, and I something happened where I slip my grip, and the dude fall and break his neck. It ain't my fault. It ain't his fault. It's I lost my grip. Anything can happen.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's one thing I was, you know, talking about a couple shows ago over at WrestleTalk NFC. It's like, you know, until you, like, Jeff Hardy, I was a big Jeff Hardy fan. I was a big Hardy Boy fan until they did what they did recently. Jeff Hardy pretended to be drunk or high or whatever to get out of this contract. Now, I did a lot of digging. I did hours of digging to find out exactly how true stuff was, because I wasn't going to just put something out there that is not true. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, after seeing multiple videos, multiple, you know, shots and stuff like that, after he rolled out of the ring, hopped over the barrier and started walking through the crowd, he started taking pictures with people like nothing was wrong. And then he shows up on Matt Hardy's podcast, or not podcast, Matt Hardy's Twitch earlier this week. Oh, I got dates where I'm going to be playing music and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this punk just ruined any kind of respect I had for him just to get out of his contract from WWE. I mean, that just don't make no sense to me.
All you got to do, you ain't happy, just go to the people, hey, I want out. Y'all sit down, talk your way out of it. That's all you got to do.
Exactly.
It's called asking for a release. Release is a softer way of saying you got fired. But now,
Pretty much. Now
you can be released. Being released is got fired. That's just a softer way of saying you got fired. Asking for a release, I want to quit, I'm done with this, have fun. As a songwriter, I came for a good time, not a long time. Hey, I went out. And all Jeff Hardy had to do was go to Vince, go to whoever. I went out, talk, sit down, work something out for you to get out of the contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Vince McMahon has bought people's contracts out so they could be let go instantly in the past. Now, I'm not going to say Vince McMahon's in his right mind right now to do something like that because the old man is, you know, he's a cracked egg right now, but my thing is how much of a slap in the face to the fans was that? I mean, that was just a complete disregard, because if he was drunk in real life, or if he was really high, not only is he in there dangerously putting his life at risk, but he's also putting the lives of the other competitors at risk.
Yeah.
You know, and then everyone was like, oh, he got COVID and WWE found out, so they had to pull him from the match. Then why the hell would they have him walk through the crowd?
Yeah, man.
You know, Jeff Hardy's a punk, and he's probably going to AEW, and I, you know, AEW sucks. I watch it because I'm a true wrestling fan, and I gotta keep up on everything, but yeah. Yeah, AEW can still suck balls.
Definitely. You know, and it's all I don't understand why he did that, bro. You ain't happy, just go. You wasting my time, you wasting your time, you wasting people's money around here, they buying your stuff, you ain't happy here. There's the door, see ya.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is his contract was set to expire in April of next year. So now, since he's been released, he's got to wait 90 days, so that means he'll be able to wrestle in March of next year.
So dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have went the way that Gargano and O'Reilly went, just let the contract, you know, expire. So then on instantly a free agent and I could go the next day on another federation if I wanted, or I could resign. You know, but I will say, though, Kevin Owens resigning with WWE, and I will touch on this over on Wrestle Talk in the D, too, well, next time we have a show, but I have mad respect for Kevin Owens because he flat out said it was the best decision and easiest decision he can make because he made it for his family. He said he's not a selfish person, and I'm like, you know what? You can't help but respect somebody who's out there busting their ass for their family.
Definitely.
It's just, again, mad respect to him.
You know, Mr. and Mrs. Morrison, well, they used to be Morrison, whatever they want to call themselves. They acting like John Morrison's wife, like, y'all should support WWE. They let my husband go. Good. You acting like there's nowhere else to go. You got Ring of, well, you don't have Ring of Honor. You got Lucha, you got the Lucha Company. You got Impact Wrestling. You can go back over there. You can go to AEW. You can go to you can go across the seas to some England companies of the UK. You got like there's nowhere else to go.
Here's my problem, and just to give your audience a kind of a refresher of what kind of person I am, I'm a very opinionated person, and the thing about her, she don't have the talent to be a professional wrestler, in my opinion. And I think the only reason people signed her was the mere merit that she's married to John Morrison, and that's it. Like, she had maybe a handful of matches in NXT, and none of them were impressive. She had matches in TNA or Impact. None of them were impressive. I'm sitting there thinking, like, she can't keep me entertained, therefore she shouldn't be in entertainment, unless it's, you know, like porn, because she's probably good at that. But it's the same. That's my opinion, though.
That's a possibility, man. I'll say it. OnlyFans. Selena Vega has one, but it's not what you think. First of all, OnlyFans was supposed to be for content creators until former adult entertainers and C-plus retired adult entertainers took it over, and now it's just nasty. But Selena Vega has one. It's not necessarily what you think it is. So I wouldn't mind if certain people had OnlyFans. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Now, I mean, I don't subscribe to none of that stuff. I mean, I know what it is.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, if certain ones wanted to do that, I mean, I simply say it like this. Go to Vivid or somewhere like that and get a multi, you know, film deal and get paid tons of money to do it. Instead of, you know, I got a friend who does that and she's like, oh yeah, I get paid like $18 every time someone signs on. I'm like, oh, good for you. How many subscribers you got? Oh, I got 20. I was like, you're better off making a freaking porno.
Sure. By the way, while I was on my mind, I'm going to go ahead and say, I said it with Martez years, months ago. When every young man has feasted his eyes on it at some point in his life. It's a rite of passage. How you feel about it. I was 13. I was 16. My little heart in mind, I'm thinking of actually doing it. Turns out it's work. They follow the script. They have a storyline, everything. It's working, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But in my mind, they're getting off. I'm enjoying it. They're enjoying it. I think they actually, you know, it's work.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, 9 times out of 10 in those movies, most of the women are faking it because they've been, you know, like, done so much that I'm surprised any feeling is down there. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I mean, it's like, I don't know how many times, I mean, all right, so. Once a woman has a baby, it never goes back the same. And a lot of these porn stars have kids, and I'm like, yeah,
God forbid they ever get hold of the it's time for them to capture, get access to the internet. God forbid they come across something. It reminds me of Triple H, at least with Triple H in China. Triple H's reason, but the theory is they kept China out of the Hall of Fame because kids might look her up and discover who she is and what she did after wrestling. Well, first of all, if we're going to go that route, you might as well, let's talk about it. You might as well. There's Val Venus. This is Val Venus close to penis. There's Shaniqua. She was a dominatrix. The Godfather was a pimp. What else? Mark Henry was a sex.
Was a dominatrix.
Kelly was, she was a, she likes to get clothes off in public. Exhibitionist.
Yeah.
Taz trying to say exhibitions on ECW is hilarious. Mark Henry had a sex addiction. Come on now, we're gonna go that route. Come on.
Well, I mean, if you really look at it though, like, there was an old wrestling promotion called Extreme Pro Wrestling, XPW, that was founded and ran by people in the adult industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everybody and anybody who's an independent wrestled there because they gave you matches where the money was so much more than what you would have got on the independent scene. I mean, there was a match between Sabu and Tommy Dreamer on there one time, and they both got paid the same salary that they got paid when they were in ECW. That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true or not. Don't care. It's hot. Not hot, but it is what it is. So they're in the back in the locker room area waiting on the paycheck and a girl going down on somebody while he's writing the check out.
That happens all the time.
Like the girl, your boss is writing out the check, and while he's writing out the check, old girl down her knees doing her job.
That happens all the time, especially in professional wrestling, because back then, I won't say nowadays, but I'll say back then, women didn't get the acknowledgement that they get nowadays, so they had to do something to get more money. And, I mean, just look at Sunny. She has a book out where she goes into full graphic detail on how many men she slept with, who they were, how long they lasted, and all this other stuff, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, any true wrestling fan is going to read it because if she was part of wrestling. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't really need to know all that detail.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah. So.
God forbid they spouses read that book.
Oh, I read the book. and there's even a YouTube channel, a YouTube video out there where she's naming the people she's literally been intimate with.
Oh, wow.
Some of the names will be shocking.
I have a feeling Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart is on there.
Oh, yeah. Both of them are.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, there's a lot on there that you would be shocked. I mean, back in the day, I mean, that's what it was. It's like women who were in wrestling couldn't go out and have normal lives. Or at least they didn't feel they could back then, so they did what came natural, was hook up with wrestlers.
And, yes,
I mean, you can't fault them because they're in that environment, and that's the only environment that they know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm enjoying this, but unfortunately, parting is such sweet sorrow. We got to have Josh back on next time. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Josh for joining me. Check out Wrestle Talk in the D. He's off there on Facebook for your local show times. We got to go. Thank you very much, Josh. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. See you next time, everybody.